long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday morning here with Robin Waller. God bless you. Glad you could join us. I so look forward to doing this program. And I guess it's because in part, well, it's a calling, but in part because I know that I'm never going to run out of material. I mean, I can't cover the Bible. And if I covered it, we'd just have to cover it again because we'd find new applications for some old scriptures from the ancient words. I love that song by Robin Mark. It's hard for me to imagine ever changing the introductory music and concluding music to this program. It just fits, and if it fits, I guess it's going to fit forever, right? Okay. Well, how do we start? We start with prayer. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord God, to give you praise and thanksgiving. I thank you for the safe travels I've had this last week and travels I would rather not have made, but you were there and you dealt with for me the challenges that I had, as you are with everybody listening to this program, if we put our trust in you. Father, we plan ahead, but your word says that you direct our steps, and I am thrilled that you do just that. And Father, so direct my words today as I minister. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Well, you know, I had to go to California for 3 days. I am there more again, it seems like. I have work calling me back there, and I had to drive this time, and I dreaded, shouldn't say this, but I just sort of dreaded, not because I fear it, I just don't want to do it, the drive through. So much of L.A. from about San Bernardino West and then San Bernardino County and then L.A. County and then into Ventura County and then the southern part of Santa Barbara County. I'm like, it's 2 hours and you're just in city. And I sort of get an urban claustrophobia. There's just times where everything's okay, but I think I just got to get out of here. There's just too many people. Well, fortunately, the Lord took me to other things in my mind and my spirit and thought about other things, and it all worked out fine. But the 16 hours of round trip kind of takes a toll, and doing this program is my refreshment. So thank you, Lord, for that. Today, I want to talk about the necessity of having a vision, but don't let a long-term vision hold you up from taking your first step. And I called this Everybody Go Long. And this is sort of it's a reference to growing up playing a lot of sandlot football. And grew up in a neighborhood in West Michigan where we were just pretty much all boys. I don't know why none of the parents had girls. There were very few girls in the neighborhood. And so we played a lot of football, and interestingly, we played it in the backyard of a family that had only two boys, neither of whom ever played any football with us, but the family always let us play in their backyard. Hey, it's small town. That's the way it works. You let other people use your yard if they needed it. You don't lock your doors. I don't want to say it was perfect because there is no perfection this side of heaven. But it was an easy childhood, let me put it that way. Well, in sandlot football, we don't call quarterback sneaks. We don't do, let's just do an end around. No, we'd huddle and every play was the same. Everybody go long. Everybody go deep. Every play was a pass play. And they weren't short passes. We're going for the bomb. Going for the home run on every single play. And so I sort of grew up thinking, you have a longer range vision. That was in my secular mind, but it also is a biblical thing because it says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And I'm not going to say that, I suppose it could be physically, but you perish in whatever your calling is if you don't embrace a vision, if you don't actually seek a vision from God. God, what would you have me to do? And you might say, well, he's not hearing me, or he's not answering me. What is the vision? And we have a tendency, I have a tendency, to think long-term and then maybe not take the necessary steps to participate in that long-term vision. I mean, I did for a while. I grew up always wanting to be a governor. I didn't care what state it was. I just wanted to be a governor. And I tried. I ran for county commissioner a couple of times. I ran for the Michigan House of Representatives. I've run for school board twice in California, and then the House of Representatives got defeated every single time. Well, that was my vision, but the fact of the matter is it's my vision that took me to law school, and the law school played a great part in doing this program and the other program, which apparently really are my callings. I mean, I don't know. You can be the judge of that. You say, no, it's not your calling. I'm changing the channel. Well, the fact of the matter is we should seek a calling. And it, maybe not surprisingly, from those years in Sandlot football, when I got to high school, I ended up playing wide receiver. Go out for a pass. Go long. Go deep. Well, I had to follow the plan of the play there, where in Sandlot, you just kind of ran wherever the heck you wanted to, and it wasn't the quarterback throwing it to where you were supposed to be, because there was no place you were supposed to be. They just give the just heave the ball, and then you ran to the ball. And there is something spiritual to that. There are times we don't really necessarily know where we are supposed to go. We know generally. And we take off, and then we kind of run to where the ball is. But we may not know. It's not like the football plays as a wide receiver. I go out 5 yards, juke to the left, and then go right for a down-and-out pass if I'm on the right side or across the center. No, it's not like that. It's actually more like sandlot football. But there is something that must be done even when you have a long-range vision. You have to take the very first step. And a lot of people, and I'm not excluding myself from this, we sometimes don't take those steps because of what's talked about in Mark 4:19, that the cares of this world cause our vision to be dimmed. And I can tell you that every time I lost a campaign, I thought, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be a governor. Well, maybe I wasn't. But it didn't deter me from yet trying again and again and again. And I don't think that's going to happen, but that's okay. I don't have that particular desire. I would rather my longer range vision these days is in whatever way possible to help people in their need. Spiritually, to the extent that I'm able, financially, supporting certain ministries, making sure my grandchildren have great Christian educations, making sure that the little ones in the family, the friends, the relatives, frankly, the community, don't get lost to this world. That's my longer range vision. But I don't just jump to that vision. And if you're not careful, the cares of this world can choke it. And that's something that, you know, we all have to be careful of. You know, I look back at property, real estate that I've bought and sold over the years and the different homes I've had. There's one thing that has plagued me. Plagued maybe is a strong word, but something that has just been consistent no matter where I have owned real estate. Water. Water problems. It could be with a well. My first house that I was engaged in, I had built. It turns out when the last thing they did was the well driller came in. Not the first thing, last thing. It went down 440 feet. And I didn't have the money. My dad helped me out. He blessed me with it, but I didn't have the money to get the water. The next house I did, I bought a lot in a city and built the house, and the last thing to do was be connected to the water line out front, only to find out that for whatever reason, this particular street, the city had never run a water line down it. I'm ready to move in 4 days, and I don't even have water in the street, much less in my house. City manager had compassion. He said, man, you are screwed, but we're going to take care of it. And in 4 days, they ran the water line down the street, hooked it up to the house. I have had well problems. I have had sprinkler problems. I've had roofs that have leaked for various reasons. It's like no matter where I go. But if you have sprinklers, this is an easy example. I think I spent too long trying to get to it. The sprinkler problems I've had, well, they're supposed to, if it's a rotating sprinkler, it's supposed to shoot whatever distance you bought for the sprinkler. And someday you see your grass starting to get it brown because it's not shooting so far. And it's shooting less and less. Well, why? Because the valve there, the emitter, if you will, coming out, it's starting to get clogged. And it shoots shorter and shorter. And that's kind of like the cares of the world, choking off our long-range sprinkling, if you will. You're trying to water long distance. I mean, I had an issue with an orphanage in Jamaica I've tried to support. And I don't know what the issues are, but I'm trying to sprinkle long range. And it's kind of getting plugged. And I got to get it unclogged, or have God get it unclogged. Because as it gets shorter and shorter, what do you have? You end up with a puddle around your sprinkler head. You don't have a sprinkler. You got a bubbler. And things will clog us. And it's the cares of this world that lead to worries that cause us to not take the steps necessary to fulfill our vision. If you're listening, you're alive. You got to be alive if you're listening to this program. If you're listening, you're alive. God's not done with you yet. You ask God what that vision is, but whatever it is, don't think you just jump to it right away. But don't let the things of this world bog you down from taking the first step. I mean, I can open up the computer and say, well, you got to invest in gold. The dollar is going to be worthless. We're going to digital currency. A new agency, federal agency or state agency is after you. They're going to do this to you. Well, we're going to have a problem with Islamic drones in this country. Well, those things may all be true. And it's not to say that you shouldn't know those things and take some basic precautions and preparation, but that shouldn't take you off your task. Don't let the things of this world choke you. I mean, if you go to, go to Matthew, if you got it, or write it down and go to it later, but Matthew 6, 30, what do I got to go to here? Matthew 6, 34. And, you know, I'm actually going to back up one here. To Matthew 31, it says, therefore, take no thought. These are the things we worry about, right? The things that bog us down, that burden us. Take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Why are we going to be clothed? All these things the Gentiles seek after. But your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Then it says something that confuses a lot of people, and they misapply it. Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And people think, well, we just kind of can kind of go willy-nilly. We don't have to plan. We don't have to worry. Don't think about tomorrow. Well, what God is really saying here, the correct interpretation of this, is it's not saying, it doesn't mean to not plan. What it says is to not worry. Those are two different things. Don't worry about tomorrow's problems because you got problems today. Tomorrow will take care of itself, and God will take care of it when you get there. You make it to tomorrow. No, it doesn't mean to not plan. It means to not worry about it. I mean, it says in Proverbs that we are to consider, I got to get this right so I don't mess it up. The wise person sees the evil ahead, and some scripture says hides himself or does what's necessary to prepare for certain evils. I get that. You know, it's not wrong to have some savings. It's not wrong to have a garden. It's not on a food source. It's not wrong to do a bunch of things in preparation for what seems to be problems that are ahead. But that's a different situation than worrying. No, we don't do. See, we work towards whatever the calling God has given us, even if it doesn't work out in the manner that you think. Proverbs 16:9 says that the man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So you may have something that you believe God has given you to do. That's your vision. And you're wondering why it's not coming to pass. You have this sense that, let's just say geographically speaking, your vision is supposed to take you to the east. But for some reason, you're heading north. Who knows what the reason? Maybe it's somebody down the road that needs some help, and you're going down, you're going north. Maybe there's a sign that says, go north, or free hot dogs. But until you go 5 miles north, it's only then that you run into a road that takes you east. You couldn't go east from the spot that you were in. You had to go in another direction to get you to the location where then you make the turn that God would have you to go. It says in Isaiah, you know, that a voice, you'll hear a voice behind your ear to say, turn to the left or turn to the right. And that we, of course, should be doing. So we don't get distracted. We can't be distracted and choked by the worries and the concerns of this world, even though we are planning accordingly to deal with certain contingencies. There is not a problem with that. Hebrews chapter, I got it written down here. I got to get to it. 12:2. Well, let me start with 12:1. It says, wherefore, being that we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us what? Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But we are to lay aside every weight. And the weight are the cares of this world, which become a burden, not things that we shouldn't be planning for. You need to know how you're, you know, going to cover next month's light bill, or, you know, put the groceries in, and you make these preparations. That's a godly thing. But to be bogged down in worry becomes a burden that keeps you from taking the first step sometimes towards your vision. Going back to that football analogy, I'm just thinking of this. All right, supposed to go long. I got this long-range vision, but what if I said, well, you know what? What if I can't get long? What if a defender blocks me right at the line of scrimmage? Okay. That means on the next play, that I got to figure out a way to juke that guy and get around him. Let's suppose a guy grabs me and he's holding on to me as I take off from the line of scrimmage. Well, let God deal with the penalties on the other side. He'll take care of the penalties. But you know what? You can't get downfield without taking the first step. You've got to do that. I had a woman, and I know she's okay with me sharing this, asking for some direction. She said, I know God has this ministry for me. He's just not showing me what it is, and it's been years now. And I said to her, well, why don't you respond to the closest need that's by you? Take care of a need that somebody has that's physically close, you know, however close is. Who is your neighbor? Well, your neighbor is the one who's near you, is a need, right? Jesus taught us that. Only to find out that she did that and then was praying for some man a couple houses down who had some serious, I can't remember the situation, but he was miraculously healed. And because of that, there are a couple of women in the neighborhood that have come to her. And they're talking about having this fellowship that deals particularly with women's needs, of which there is an enormity of them. So you see, she's getting to the vision. She says, I know God has something for me. I didn't really know what it was, but I know there is something distinct. And there is. There was and there is. But she didn't get there all at once. She got there by taking that first step from the line of scrimmage. And then God opened it up. She got there by going 5 miles north to get her free hot dog, only to find out that the road goes east that she's been looking for. You know, I know that I've shared this before, but I am going to share it again. I shared it a couple years ago. But I was traveling down a highway in Arizona, and it was coming up, and I don't remember whether it was our anniversary or my wife's birthday. They are very close together. And I'm going down the road, and God, what would you, I don't know what to get her. I don't know. And then there was this little rickety old, and I mean rickety and old, antique shop on the left. And I thought, I need to go in there. I have to tell you, this is the first and the only time by myself I have willingly, voluntarily, although I felt compelled to go into an antique store. Not my thing. Way I see it is I got a bunch of stuff around the house. If I live long enough, I'll have a house of antiques. I don't need to go buy more. I'm not against it. There's a lot of really cool stuff. If I had a great big honking 4 foot high, 3 foot wide old Victrola, I would love that thing. But I went in there. There's nobody in there. There's an elderly lady, which simply means she was older than I. That's how I define elderly these days. And I'm looking around. There is nothing that strikes me for my wife, except I saw something I liked. And it was a silver, it was a bolo tie with a silver saddle for the kind of the concho. And then the bottom of the two tassels were two silver stirrups. And it was an antique. It was made in the 40s. And I thought, gosh, I really like that. Not that I was short on bolo ties. I really liked it. And I had the right amount of cash. Although I started to negotiate with this elderly lady, and I kept negotiating because I like to negotiate. But finally, I just said, okay, I will pay you the $125 you want because I've got that. Will you take care of the sales tax? And she smiled. She said, okay. I was in this place way too long. I could have been out of there a lot earlier had I not been looking around and then all this negotiation. There's no one else in the store. I give her the $125, and then in come two guys who I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, and you're not supposed to judge by appearance, but in my spirit, these guys were up to no good. If I could identify two guys who I thought probably had even less interest in antiques, it was these two guys. And I was totally uneasy. She's alone. At a minimum, she's got my $125. And they're hanging around. I don't know if they're going to just rip off something or rob her. And I couldn't get a release to leave. So I just kept looking around and looking around and looking around. And finally, I got a release. Okay, it's time to go. I walked out the door. I said, God, take care of this woman. I looked across the highway. And there is an Arizona Highway Patrol hiding behind a bush waiting to catch speeders. I shot across the highway and I said, officer, I don't know what it is. I just got this feeling that this woman could be in trouble. I just gave her $125. There's two guys in there. I just don't trust in my heart. I don't trust these guys. He said, I'm on it. He shot over there and he said, I'll go mosey around. I'll take care of it. You see, I was hanging around there until that officer apparently got up there and snuggled behind the bush waiting. I know he wasn't there yet. I was in there less for the bolo tie, which in the last 3 years I've worn exactly once. But that woman needed protection. You see, the needs of some people are not revealed until you take care. Something else draws you to it. That's why I say that. I keep coming back to this, going down the road a few miles north, which you kind of, you're going down there for some reason, but you don't feel like that's the right reason, but you finally find out that that's where you get to the place where you're supposed to make a turn. You follow God's leading. You listen. You will perish for a lack of vision. But you will, all, spiritually speaking, you will never fulfill God's calling unless you ask him, give me a vision, give me a calling. If you're still on this earth, and you are, if you're listening to this, I'm believing and praying that your best years are ahead of you, not behind you. Take what you've learned, what God has shown you. Listen to what he's saying in the moment, and then act on it. And it will take you to your destination. You can't catch a long pass unless you take a step across the line of scrimmage, right? You got to take a step somewhere. So in my conclusion here, I didn't even get to some of my passages that I wanted to share. I'll put down Proverbs 3, 1 through 25, the importance of the word, but and Proverbs 16:3 and Psalm 16:3. I got to stop there because I got to wrap this up. But think long. Think vision. God, give me a vision or give me a compassion or a heart that beats for something that you want me to do. And even though the exact formation of it isn't there, it's in your heart. Then don't let the long thinking keep you from taking the first step. You follow God's leading and that first step, and you don't fear, you don't get burdened by the cares of this world. Don't fear, don't worry, don't fret. What a relief it will be, notwithstanding everything that's going on in this world, to be able to move through and fulfill your calling.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints to not just survive, but to thrive in the end times, through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Remember, you're not running your own pattern. You're going to go long, and then you're going to run to where God throws the ball. That is your destination. God bless you. We'll see you next week.